It's great to be back again this evening. Thankful that we have this opportunity to study God's Word again. As we were getting ready to come back, we had that nice little brief shower, raining a little hard at our house. Told Colleen she might have to drop me off at the door. She didn't take me seriously, but I was about ready to pull out the second card. It's Father's Day. That probably wouldn't have worked either. No one sets out in life on a quest to be unhappy. We do the things we do, and we pursue the things we pursue in order to gain what is a perceived benefit, something that will somehow make us feel better about ourselves, or feel better physically, or experience more of the richness and fullness that life has to offer. Indeed, Jesus came to give a full and abundant life. So there's no doubt about it that Jesus wants us to be happy. I don't buy into the concept that that would be a license to do whatever we want to do. But to understand what fullness of life is and happiness is, and understanding that in the biblical perspective, we understand that that's what Jesus came to do. And in doing so, taking care of the problem of sin and giving us hope for everlasting life. A few years ago, I saw in a Reader's Digest magazine an article entitled Life, the Reader's Digest edition. And while I can't remember anything in the article per se, I do remember that the title struck me as very odd. It just seems like that's exactly what our society is trying to do, to find that shortcut to happiness. And so to get the maximum benefit out of life with the least amount of effort, the least expenditure of time and energy, that's what we're after. And so we try that in so many different areas of life, and often we find that in the end it is a disaster when we do so. So how do you get the most out of life? You only get out of life what you put into it. So you have to invest, and you have to invest wisely. When Jesus spoke about life in the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 7, he spoke of the wise and the foolish person. And he spoke about those who built on the sand, and those who built their lives on the rock. And in that parable, Jesus relates to us very clearly that building on the rock is encapsulated in the phrase, not just hearing, but acting upon the things that Jesus teaches. Whereas building on the sand, you hear what he says, it goes one ear and out the other. So very basically and very simply, Jesus describes for us what is most important in life. In the end, we need to make sure that our lives are built on the rock. And so every once in a while, it's good to go outside your house and walk around the circumference of it and take a look at the foundation. If you find that the foundation is beginning to totter here and there, you begin to see cracks, begin to see upheaval in one place or sinking in another. Cracks in concrete are sometimes indicators that something could be wrong. And you will then want to do something about it. Can you imagine living in a home and then discovering the telltale signs of termites in the 2x4 studs in your wall? And then you say, well, we'll just cover that up with drywall or whatever, and pretend like it does not exist. And then you see other signs that the foundation is not secure, and you ignore them. Eventually, you'll come to regret that decision. You take care of the problems as you see them. You begin to tweak it and to correct the problems so as to have a life that is secure and that will last and will provide happiness. This evening, I wanted to talk about some foundations of Christian living. I wanted to talk about four of them, in fact, but I'm only going to talk about one. I think it is the primary one that we read about in the Bible, and I think this is the one that we want to emphasize in our lesson tonight. Build your life on faith. The Bible puts such strong emphasis on faith. If you were to look it up in your concordance, you'll find that several times in the New Testament, the book of Habakkuk is quoted, Habakkuk 2, verse 4, which says, "The righteous shall live by faith." Faith is that which we live by. Acts 15, verse 9 says, "We're cleansed by faith." Our hearts are cleansed by faith. Acts 16, verse 5 says, "We're strengthened in the faith." We're sanctified by faith. Acts 26, verse 18, justified by faith. Romans 3, 28. We are introduced into the grace by faith. Romans 5, verse 2. We obtain righteousness by faith. Romans 9, 30. We're, of course, supposed to walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5, 7. Galatians 3, 26 says, "We become sons of God by faith." Ephesians 2, 8 says, "We're saved by grace through faith." Ephesians 3:17 says Christ dwells in our hearts through faith. Hebrews 11:6 says we please God by faith. Ours is the victory through faith, 1 John 5, verse 4. And then, of course, you can go into passages like Romans chapter 11, where you have the heroes of faith, and all that they did for faith. So faith is very important in the Bible, in the New Testament in particular. The New Testament is a system of faith as opposed to a system of law. That is, being justified by law, we're justified by faith. That doesn't mean faith does not have laws connected to it, that laws that have to be obeyed, but it's a system where we put our faith in God and our trust in Him, and He saves us on the basis of that faith and that obedient trust. Now, the Hebrew author describes faith, and you're familiar with this. Faith is the assurance, that is the substance, as some, King James may have it that way, the substance of things that we hope for. No one, as we said it earlier in the lesson, goes out in life on a quest for unhappiness. What do? You go out for great things. Sometimes people center their aspirations in the here and now. John says that's a waste of time. This world is passing away. We will hopefully put our aspirations in things that are beyond this life, where Christ is, Colossians chapter 3, and put our faith and hope there. Okay? If that's where our faith and hope is, then what stands under that? What stands under that hope? Faith is the substance. The second syllable, stand under. Faith is what stands under our hope. So you have a hope out here. Is it valid? Is it real? Is it viable? Is it motivating? It is if you put faith underneath it. The kind of faith that the Bible talks about. The evidence faith of God and all that He has done in this life. So now faith is the substance of things that we hope for and the conviction or evidence of things not seen. It is the belief that there are things we don't see that are nonetheless true. Think about that for a moment. There are things that are seen and there are things that are not seen. There are probably more things that you have not seen than things you have seen. Because you have not seen them, does that mean they are not real? No. Even in the physical realm, the subatomic particles that we cannot see, we know there are present. Things that we have not seen are nonetheless true. And so there are things that are not seen. We believe in them. We put our hope in them. And faith stands under that hope. In Hebrews 11 and verse 6, as we read a moment ago, or mentioned a moment ago, it is impossible to please God without faith. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so if you want to begin your life now, searching for that happy, abundant, fulfilling life that will lead you to heaven, you have to begin it with faith. And Paul says, walk by faith, not by sight. Well, how do you go about walking a life of faith? How do you get that faith in which we are commanded to walk? The righteous shall live by faith, not by sight. So we got to get beyond the idea of looking at the here and now, of being distracted by the world around us, even legitimate concerns of things that are bothering us or bothering the world around us, and keep our focus on things that are heavenly in their origin. Keep our mind focused on that which is to come and on doing the will of God and of striving to be like Jesus, and keep our mind and our heart centered on the encapsulating mission that we have to seek and to save that which is lost, and thinking about heaven as a reality and this world not being our home, that we're here but for a short time, and then we must move on. Faith is important. Faith comes through the Word of God, Romans 10:17. It's by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. The things in the Bible, these are the things that build faith. When you read the Scriptures and you examine the life of Jesus and examine the existence of God and the Word of God and the will of God and all of that in the Word of God, you will be strengthened in your faith, and your faith will grow. And as your faith grows, so also does your hope. And a life without hope is a miserable existence, but a life with hope, and a hope such as that which we have in Christ, is indeed a powerful thing. And so as John finished the gospel that he wrote near the end of that book, he says, these things have been written so that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing we may have life in his name. These things are written. Now, John is writing, many believe, later in the first century than perhaps some of the other gospels. But he is writing this young man, probably outlived the rest of the apostles, as far as we know. But he had all of the exposure that the other apostles had. He had seen Jesus. He had been a part of that ministry of Christ on the earth. He had witnessed the resurrection of Jesus. And writing by inspiration of God, he sets out in an orderly fashion the life of Jesus. He doesn't try to include in his gospel all of the details of Christ's life, but sort of in a thematic way, pointing out seven signs and filling in the blanks there and helping people to come to the logical conclusion that based upon what is written there by inspiration of God, Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of God. And that's his point. And that's a point well worth our study, and a point that is well worth our consideration. A scripture-saturated faith in God provides us with the purpose and direction we need in this life to have a life that's meaningful, that has purpose to it, and we might say that gives us hope. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, Paul said, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. There is the motivation that Paul had, the hope that he had. What was it based on? His belief in Jesus, whom he had seen after Jesus had risen from the grave. The Apostle Paul, apostle untimely born, the one describing himself as not worthy to be called an apostle, the one who had done as much or more than any other human being outside of Jesus Christ to share the good news of the gospel with the world. He said, my purpose, my call, my motivation in life, all of that is based on his hope in Christ and founded upon his faith, his undeniable certainty of his belief that Jesus was who he claimed to be. That is the kind of life that we want to live, a life dedicated to a direction that God gives. Faith gives us direction, and we need direction. Sometimes we think we got it all figured out. We don't need anybody to tell us what to do or where to go. But really, you know, why does the Bible describe us as sheep if we know where we're going? Sheep don't know where they're going. They can't hardly see. They need a shepherd. Faith is what gives us that direction. They hear the voice of the shepherd, John chapter 10. They recognize the voice, and they follow him. And if we're being the kind of sheep that we want to, that God wants us to be, when we hear another voice, a different shepherd, we won't go that way. We won't go that way. We'll follow the shepherd, Jesus Christ. So there's direction here. Jeremiah said in his prayer in Jeremiah 10:23, he said, "I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his own steps." We need purpose and direction. Now, this is a subtle point, maybe one worth listening to, at least consideration given to it. We don't determine our direction in the sense that we have to go find it. Life is not about just searching for that special moment, that aha moment in life when pizzazz, all of a sudden you know why you're here and where you're going and life is meaningful and all of that. That's not the way life works. Our direction has already been determined. God has determined our direction. And when we submit to Him by faith, all of the other things that we've been looking for fall into place. All of a sudden, we feel a sense of direction. All of a sudden, we feel a sense of purpose. All of a sudden, we have this drive and motivation in life. Why? Because we are following the plan that the Master gave His children. Jesus said, "If anyone does not hear my voice or does not obey my word, he is one who judges him. The word that I spoke is what will judge him at the last day." So faith gives us that direction. And that's why we need to go to God's word to get that direction and to find what it is that he wants us to do, because we're not going to be happy if we're not obeying God. People think the happiness that I want is somewhere else. Here's the pool of God's information about what man must do, about how we must live. Here's the combined compilation of all that God has ever told us to do and wants us to do. It's right here. It's in the will of God. The song says, "Sweet will of God." That's the prayer that we have, to abide in that will of God. And then you'll find the hope and the purpose and the happiness and joy that you crave. Why is it that all of a sudden someone comes along and says, "Yeah, but there's something out here I want"? It's not in agreement with what God's word says, but I just kind of think that'll make me happy. That'll give me joy. That'll give me direction. That'll give me peace. Listen up. That's not the voice of God. That's the voice of the devil. He might not be asking you to go out and commit some violent crime or to go out and commit some a grievous immorality. But anytime you are tempted to go away from the sweet will of God and the instructions of Christ and His word, that voice is Satan, disguised even as an angel of light, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So we need that direction in life. Without hope, there's no direction. Without God's word, we might as well just eat, drink, and be merry. But God's word gives us that direction. Faith gives us that lasting peace and security that we need. Without faith, we become slaves to our own passions and our own desires. Some wanting to have something other than what they call the crutch of faith. They ridicule Christians and say, "Well, yeah, if you have to believe in order to be happy, that's fine. But we don't have to believe in God. We don't have to believe in a supernatural being, in something that we cannot see. We'll just be happy on our own with our own devices. We need no God to save us. We'll save ourselves. That's the humanist manifesto taught through our education system. But instead of God, they put their faith in other things. Your faith is going to be in something. And so they put their faith in other things, substitutes. It could be anything from drugs to illicit sexual activity. It could be for some ancient astronauts that they have invented in their own mind to explain the existence of the world. Kind of far out, but to them anything beats the idea of a God creator. It could be ancient philosophers from times and centuries ago. It could be a psychic phenomena, a transcendental meditation. It could be any number of things that people try to substitute for God to fill the longing in their heart and give them direction, purpose, and hope in life. But there are no substitutes to a biblical faith. Faith cannot be purchased with money. It cannot be inherited from our forefathers. It must be consciously built. And faith comes through hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so we look at the Word and we say, this is where faith comes from. That's the foundation we want to build on. When's the last time you read the Bible? Are you spending time in God's Word? Are we spending our time in other pursuits? Sometimes we can grow in faith by opening our eyes to the world around us. One of the things I'm considering here is the fact that if a discerning, open heart will look at the creation around us, there is a voice to be heard there, to be perceived, that is. The Apostle Paul, writing in the opening chapter of Romans, said that that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them, for since the creation of the world, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through that which has been made, so that they are without excuse. The heavens, the psalmist said, the heavens are telling of the glory of God, and the firmament shows forth His handiwork. Day into day uttereth speech, night into night knowledge. There is the voice of nature, the creative world around us, which is constantly, constantly hammering us with the knowledge of God, the evidence of God. It's all around us. It's even within us as we look at the marvels of the human body. Sometimes I think we can learn something about faith also by just keeping our hearts open to the idea that God is there and He's not silent. His Word answers our needs. He answers our prayer in keeping with His will. I don't know if Mark was praying when the microphone didn't work. But if he was, he might have had an answer right there, you know. But I don't joke about that. But still, God answers our prayer all the time. We pray and God gives us strength, or God answers our prayers. And then we are quick to either forget or say, man, that was really a coincidence. But God operates through His providence. Not in miraculous means, but God is around us. We can read about Him in His Word. We can see about Him in nature. We can acknowledge that in our prayers and how He strengthens us and helps us in so many ways. We need to look at our faith and build our life around that. Hold on to that. Put that faith in our head intellectually, but don't forget to put it in our hearts. Emotionally, it needs to be in the head and it needs to be in the heart. Some of you probably remember a guy by the name of Nikita Khrushchev. Some of you might even know how to spell that name. This is back in the Cold War days when this leader of the Soviet Union, his report led the Communist Party, and it was reported of him that he had committed to memory Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels. I don't have that committed to memory. By the time I got done with one, I had forgotten the other. You know, but he had committed all that to memory. He had it in the head, but he did not have it in the heart. In the head, without being in the heart, will not give us life-sustaining faith. The word, as Hebrews says, that they heard must be united by faith. When it was not united by faith, the children of Israel turned back and did not follow God. On the other hand, a faith that is in the heart but is not guided by the head is also a faith that is invalid. We can't afford to waste our lives just waiting for something to happen to us, waiting for some mysterious entrance of faith into our heart in an unexpected manner. Well, I'm just going to pray that somehow that person will come to faith. Let me ask you this. How is that going to happen unless they're taught? Unless they read the Bible, unless they expose themselves to the possibility of God and then learn from the Scriptures who He is, what He expects, and who He's, that He sent His Son Jesus to die for our sins, and so on. So it's got to be a combination of both. It's got to be from the heart. It's got to be in the head. Both of those things working together in us. So what I've said tonight, and I'm going to pause after this, is that in order to have a better life, a happier life, a purposeful life, a meaningful life, we must build on the right foundation, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. Our faith in Him will give us the victory. No matter what happens in the world around us, our faith in Him is our firm resolve that we will trust Him in every circumstance, in every event of life. Come what may, Jesus is our helper. And we can rely upon Him. He can be your helper too. But we have to be willing to reach out to Him in faith. Obey the gospel. Believe in Him. Repent of sin. Be buried with Christ in baptism. And then as we walk in our lives by faith, walk with Him, trusting in His grace and in His promise. If you need to respond to the invitation tonight, we're here to help. You'll come while we stand and while we sing.